the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to the North Peace Roundtable Super Podcast. I added a super in there.
Super.
It's been a few weeks, right? Because Dawn was off. Were you on a sabbatical or something? It seems like you were gone for so long. No, a week. Dawn was gone for a week. And then it was VBS, right? The week before. So, yeah, we took. I will share a funny story about VBS because it's very funny. Because I wasn't like a group leader this year. On the Wednesday, they needed me in the Bible story to act as like a Roman soldier. And then the other days, I just kind of hung out for the opening session and the closing session and talked to parents and just kind of walked around. So one of the parents that they go to our church, they said, they asked their daughter who was in VBS. Oh, I think they were just asking about who was involved. Oh, is Pastor Andrew there? What is he doing? And she goes, he doesn't do anything. He just walks around. Oh, I thought that was funny. He's not doing anything this year. He's just walking around talking to people. But if you were wondering why we didn't record for few weeks, it's because we weren't doing anything. So this week we got another question from one of our listeners. So that's always fun when we get to answer questions people have. I'm not going to read the whole email because this person kind of gave some background and it's good. But basically it was from a fairly new believer, 2.5 years now, maturing in their faith, but had a question about spiritual warfare, the demonic, and kind of shared this story about a friend's daughter who was sick and they couldn't really figure out, you know, what was going on, trying to do these tests. And, you know, they prayed for her and this person says they weren't instantly healed. But she's doing okay now, only a year later. But anyways, saying that, you know, as this person began to think about the issues that this girl was having, she read Mark 9, where the story of the epileptic boy who's demon-possessed. And she went, whoa, like that's super similar to a lot of what my friend's daughter is having. So anyways, then the question at the very end is, do you think that we as Christians in general tend to swing towards the side of underestimating the enemy's work here in the world? Maybe because we don't want to sound crazy and scare others away, or because we're trying to be careful to, quote, not give the enemy any credit. Maybe we can now explain the areas of the brain that are affected by depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, multiple personality disorder, and on and on and on. And we can mask the symptoms with drugs, but are we glazing over the root of the problem? Is acknowledging the same as giving credit, or is acknowledging the problem simply the first step in fighting it? Maybe then we can fight it properly with Jesus in prayer, or am I the crazy one? I like that. So really, I mean, there's a lot of questions in there, but I guess fundamentally it's about, you know, demonic activity in relation to things in the world. Specifically, you know, you look at schizophrenia, you look at multiple personality disorder, you look at depression and bipolar and all these different like ailments. So I guess this person's question is, can that be attributed to the demonic or not? And in North America, do we just try and explain everything away by, hey, we know lots to do, we know lots about the brain, and nope, it's just a, you know, chemical imbalance or whatever. So, I don't know, Don.
Well, that is, I mean, the world acknowledges all these things, and even, you know, talking about the miracles of Jesus and all that, they're trying to explain it scientifically and that there's nothing more than that. But I mean, mm-hmm. they can't go past the natural. They have to try to explain it naturally. So, but it's usually, like I think it was mentioned in this write-up here, was that they really don't know the source or where it comes from.
But
they're just trying to say, okay, this is what's happening, and this is maybe the drug that will control it, even though that's kind of a hit and miss.
Yeah, true.
So we'll
try this drug.
Where do we go from there? But I mean, the mention of the spiritual realities, that's like way out of bounds. But according to scripture, that's a reality.
Yeah, because I think the main worldview in North America is naturalism, or which basically is, like you said, like the only thing that exists is things that we can touch and taste and see and feel and smell. And it's like the natural world. And so to talk about a spiritual realm and angels and demons and like demonic activity, like our rational mindset, our naturalistic worldview, lots of people would be like this person said, like, am I the crazy one? Lots of people would be like, really? You're going to cast out a demon? Like, are you? No, there's a natural explanation for. So that is the main worldview. So it's a good question. Like, is it that? Is demonic activity around today? Can demons cause different sicknesses? Or is that kind of like, okay, that's like a pagan third world mysticism, and us North Americans, we have it all figured out. I think it would be a good place to start to talk about, like, who is Satan? Who are demons? Just to kind of, let's get a basic understanding before we kind of dive into demonic understanding. Because I don't want to assume everybody listening goes, yep, check, I know who Satan is. I know who demons are. I want to start, though, with a quote from C.S. Lewis. Because I think, again, this person in the email said they really appreciated our, you know, middle of the road Christianity. Because if you've listened at all, you know, lots of times we're like, oh, and then these nut jobs swing all the way to the right, and these nut jobs swing all the way to the left. You know, we want to land in the middle about a lot of stuff. And it's funny because it's kind of the same with this topic. So C.S. Lewis, he wrote a book called Screwtape Letters, which was about a, you know, senior demon giving advice to a junior demon. But in it, this is what he says: there are two equal and opposite errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They themselves, speaking of demons, are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. So basically what C.S. Lewis is saying is human beings, lots of times we fall into two errors. Either we say naturalism, demons don't exist, that's just fairy tale, like we don't need to talk about it. Or the other way is to be so obsessed and have an unhealthy interest in the demonic. And, you know, C.S. Lewis says, like, demons are pleased with either one. They're like, who cares? Say we don't exist. That's fine. Or be, like, unhealthily interested in us. And I've met people on both sides of that, right? You have the person that is the naturalist going, there's even a scholar, I think his name is Rolf. Anyways, I can't remember.
Dostal?
No, not Rolf Dostal. but he's a New Testament scholar, and his big thing is that we have to demythologize the New Testament. So he's a New Testament scholar that doesn't believe in demons and angels in the spiritual realm. He says that's just ancient myth.
Wow.
And there are Christians who maybe wouldn't identify as that, but they live like that. Oh, we got to demythologize Christianity. And I've met others that are like, they go outside and a bee stings them. They're like, ah, demon. And it's like, there's a demon hiding behind every tree, and everything in life can be explained about the demonic. You know, I ate bad chili and I had food poisoning. Well, I was a demon in the chili. I'm like, oh, okay. And you know, you laugh, but like, I've met people like that where it's like, there's demons for everything. And I think both are wrong.
Yeah.
So to start us off there, Donald, Pastor Don, who is Satan? What are demons? Let's start there.
I guess while you were thinking of asking me that question, I was thinking of Revelation 12, where there is this scene of the dragon, and he's referred to as Satan. So there's this supreme being. And according to the Old Testament, too, we know that this supreme being used to be in God's presence, and he chose to rebel against God. And we read here in Revelation 12 that there was this war in heaven where Michael and the good angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And it says a third of these angels went with Satan on his side,
mm-hmm.
and they rebelled against God. And it says here they were thrown down to earth, and their main job is to make war against those who trust in Jesus mm-hmm. and to war against them. And, mm-hmm. and Satan and his angels, which we call demons, mm-hmm. are on this earth to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a reality according to
So Satan scripture. Is a created being.
Satan is a created being, and the angels that followed him are all created beings.
Mm.
We know in Job, for example, Satan is called to come before God and report to him what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
He is not with unlimited power. He's right. limited.
He's not an equal with God.
Not an equal with God. He's a created being. He reports to God. God knows exactly what he's doing, and he uses even what Satan attempts as evil or bad to do good. So it's it's almost like, why does Satan even bother? He's and in the end, he says he will be cast into the lake of fire and eternally punished for his rebellion. So so that's something we want to make clear, that Satan is not, you know, we've often said that Satan and God are not equal fighting for control. It's the battle's already over and Satan is the loser. But during this time, for some reason, God has given him certain amount of authority and power to rule and wreak havoc on the earth with his demonic hosts.
Mm-hmm.
That can be very unsettling, but Scripture is very clear that you know, greater is he that is in you, which is what John says in 1 John 4:4, than he that is in the world. Like there's no question who's the winner in Christ.
Right.
So to be very careful about that, because I know some people live in fear of the dark side.
Yeah.
But according according to scripture, that battle's already won.
Yes. Yeah, and so a lot of people, like, and even Christians have that view of like Satan, God, equals, and it, you know, you joke about the dark side, but it's like a Force Star Wars-esque type, well, good and evil are equals, and I hope good wins in the end, and it's not that at all. So it's good to remind ourselves of that. That, you know, I think John Piper says that Satan's like a dog on a leash. Like he Satan does not have any authority in and of himself. And I think John Piper also says that Satan actually has borrowed authority from God. God has supreme authority. Satan was an angel. The demons were angels that rebelled against God, and God won and cast them out of heaven. So they have no authority in and of themselves. They have borrowed authority. God gives, and Job is a really cool picture of that. And you kind of unsettling. You go, God, why wouldn't you just why do you give them certain? And maybe we won't know until the end, but to know that, yes, Satan sinned before any human being ever did. Satan was the original sinner. And, you know, lots say it was pride. Isn't that in Isaiah 11 or something like that, where it's, you know, he sought to be God and he was cast out. So Satan wasn't happy being in God's presence. He wanted to be God. So he was cast out. And now Satan and his demons oppose and try and destroy every good work of God. And the Bible talks a little bit, you know, they use lies in John 8:44. They use deception. Satan's called a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And they use any type of destructive activity to cause people to turn away from God. And their whole goal is just destruction. Like I see it is because Satan knows that he's lost. Lots of people go, well, maybe Satan's still trying to win. No, Satan knows that he's lost.
That's what it says in Revelation 12. It says he knows his time is short.
Yes.
So he's
Just trying to cause as much destruction as possible before he knows his fate. So that's their whole shtick. Like him and Satan and demons just cause destruction. They use temptation and doubt and guilt and fear and confusion and sickness, which we'll get to. Envy, pride, slander, any means possible to cause destruction. With a Christian's witness, they try and do that. And then in what is that, 2 Corinthians, where they blind people mm-hmm. to the gospel. So unbelievers, yeah. the demonic demons, that doesn't make any sense. The demons are trying to blind unbelievers to yeah. the truth of the gospel because they're just trying to wreak havoc and cause destruction. But important to remember, because lots of people live in fear, like you said, like, oh, I'm so afraid. What would happen if I like encountered a demon? And we just live in fear. But just to be reminded that that demons have limited power. They're under God's control. Satan can only do what God gives him permission to do. And you said that in Job. Demons, I think it's in Jude 6, where it says that demons are kept in eternal chains. So they're not just, hey, have at or do whatever you want. They're kept in eternal chains. They don't have unlimited power. I'm just going to read Jude 6. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. So they're not unlimited power. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to know that demons, and this is what I believe, demons do not know the future. They're not omnipotent. They're not all-knowing. Because it's very clear that only God does that. Isaiah 46, I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done. God knows our thoughts. Jesus clearly throughout the Gospels, he had the ability to know people's thoughts. There's no indication in Scripture that demons can read your thoughts or know what you're thinking. I think we attribute way too much power to demons. Now, not to, again, we don't want to there's no power there. There is, but we don't want to give Satan and the demons more power than they actually have. Demons can observe what goes on in the world and they can draw conclusions from that and use temptations and destructive things to just wreak havoc. So, anything else you want to add to that about like a kind of a base understanding?
Well, I think that's
good. Yeah. So then I guess to get to the question, basically it's asking about demonic activity in the here and now. Can they cause sickness and disease and disorders? Or is that, I like how this person worded that, is that, you know, giving the enemy too much credit or not? So I don't know, Don, what do you think? Can demons cause those type of things, disorders and diseases and sicknesses? Do they cause all of them?
I don't think they cause all of them, but I think definitely responsible for some of them and some of the sicknesses and diseases we have. And I think why I would say that is because Jesus and the disciples and Paul all, you know, knew that there was demonic activity and dealt with them.
Yeah.
And Jesus, especially in his ministry, many times he confronted sickness and knew it was demonic activity. He would cast out a demon or maybe many sometimes, as in, you know, the demonic legion where there was multiple demons there. What's interesting to me is that there were times when Jesus, and in Matthew 9, this kind of plays out there, where Jesus heals people who are blind, and at one time he'll just heal them as if it's just a natural part of the fallen world, and he heals them, and the next time he'll heal someone who's blind and attributes it to demonic activity.
Yeah.
So even Jesus, at times he heals people and there's no indication of demonic activity, but then next time he'll cast out a demon and that person is healed of whatever, you know, disease or sickness they had. So I find that interesting. And I think we could say that same today. There are times when we should be concerned that maybe there's demonic activity.
Yeah.
And other times it's just, let's take them to the doctor. It's a part of the fallen world.
Yeah.
And treat them like that and not get too bent out of shape one way or the other.
Yeah.
So I think that reality is lived out in the New Testament, and I think it's the same today.
Mm-hmm. No, and I like that. I wrote down some examples just for Matthew, because that's the book that we've been going through. But like you mentioned Matthew 9, because even in there, there's a mute man too. It says a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. This is Matthew 9:32. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. So it's very clear to me that one of the symptoms of this man's being demon-oppressed was that the demon made him mute. And Jesus casts him out, and the guy speaks. But then I find it really interesting that in Matthew 4, it says his fame spread throughout all Syria. They brought to him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains. And then he says, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. So it seems as if Jesus healed various diseases, epileptics, paralytics, and he also cast out demons. So it wasn't saying, like Matthew doesn't write that he just cast out demons and they were the cause of all of these sicknesses. That, yeah. Like some people were just paralytics, some were epileptics. But then in Matthew 17, and that's paralleled in Mark 9, that Jesus comes down the mountain and the demons or the disciples have been trying to cast out this demon, and we're told very clearly that this demon was causing this boy epilepsy, and he was foaming at the mouth, and he was seizing up, and he was grinding his teeth. And so, you know, that idea of seizures and epilepsy, it was being caused by that demon. So again, I just love that we see both, that there's not, no sicknesses are caused by demons, and it's not, hey, every sickness is caused by demons. It's some are and some aren't. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Jesus, he heals people of their sicknesses, and he casts out demons, and sometimes when he casts out a demon, a mute man speaks, and sometimes a epileptic boy is healed because the demon was causing that, I guess. So apart from Jesus, because it's really fascinating when you read the New Testament, there seems to be a ton of demonic activity right when Jesus arrives on the scene, which makes sense. Like the Son of God is here to purchase redemption for humanity. And it just seems like there's a real emphasis on, wow, there's a ton of demonic activity. And it's really fascinating because in the Old Testament, you don't hear a lot about demons. I mean, you hear a lot about false gods, which lots of people think that's demonic activity. But there's no reference in the Old Testament about someone casting out a demon besides, you know, when David, it a lyre or a harp or an electric guitar?
electric guitar. I think it was his harp.
Yeah, a Gibson. Harp. It was a Gibson harp. But there's that. It's in 1 Samuel 16 when David comes and he plays the harp and says that the demon would leave Saul when he played the harp. So, man, that must have been some pretty music. But that's the only real reference of something like, quote unquote, casting out a demon that just didn't happen in the Old Testament. And then it's amazing because Jesus shows up and it's almost like, you know, and this is me imagining it. It's almost like the demons are, let's double our efforts now. The Son of God is here. And Jesus just, they come and the demons are trembling in front of Jesus. And he's just casting them out. And so that was a huge part of Jesus's ministry.
It was interesting that they, you know, often they would say, we know who you are.
Yeah.
And it was, they knew who just arrived.
Yeah.
Even though the Pharisees didn't have a clue, the demons knew. And it's like you said, they seem to have want to double up their efforts. We got to do something about
this. Right. We got to stop this or cause a big mess of everything. But then if you look at the rest of the New Testament, so I'll ask you, Don, like, is there that same type of emphasis in the rest of the New Testament, or like, do the letters to the churches, do they talk about demonic activity? Do they give prescriptions for how to, I don't know, battle demons or like what? Like it, because we know the New Testament talks about demons.
Well, for the most part, after Jesus leaves the scene and he sends his disciples to go, I mean, it's after he died and rose again. And in Colossians, Paul talks about Jesus disarming the authorities and powers.
Yeah.
And it's like that battle is over. And the emphasis then is to preach the truth and the truth of Jesus Christ and the gospel. And as far as Satan and the enemy, it's more resist him, watch out for him. Mm-hmm. Like Peter says, he comes around as a prowling lion seeking whom he can devour. He's trying to turn people away from Jesus. So the emphasis really becomes standing firm in the victory that Jesus has won. And there's really no emphasis on looking for them or even casting them out. Like we know Paul, when he was on one of his missionary journeys, he encountered that girl that kept following them around, and he ended up casting this demon out. Because
it says he was like frustrated or so annoyed of
so
this.
So annoyed. And it caused him a lot of trouble to do that. But there's really just these limited places where, someone was full of a demon like that resisted Paul, and Paul would look at them and rebuke them, or this girl. But really the emphasis is on standing firm in the faith, being aware of demonic activity.
Yeah.
And the main focus is to, you know, water down the truth or break down the truth, lead people away from the truth.
Yes.
So that seems to be the focus.
Yep.
But not ignoring that there still is an enemy that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
He says he acts like an angel of light. He tries to deceive us, but it's always this focus of he's whatever it takes to move us away from Jesus. That's what we need to watch out for.
I love too, and this is kind of off topic, but then the guys who are trying to use it for their gain. And the demon says, yeah, I know Jesus and I've heard of Paul, but who are you? That just makes me laugh. And then they're attacked by I think there was the fascination of like, hey, we could use this to like make some money.
Yeah.
And I just love that the demon says, like, I know Jesus and I've heard of Paul, who are you guys? But that's a really good point that yes, like if you read the book of Acts, there are whatever you call it, exorcisms where demons are cast out. But it's just fascinating to me that that's so not the emphasis in the New Testament. The emphasis is teaching believers, okay, don't sin, put that stuff to death and live righteous lives. And then, yeah, like you said, like James 4:7, right? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And there's no, like, some people have this emphasis of like, hey, we need to, you know, do strategic spiritual warfare where, you know, let's summon a territorial spirit. So each city has a spirit and let's summon him and we'll demand information about him. And then, you know, we got to break these strongholds in cities. There's actually zero in the New Testament about that. So that idea of like, you know, the fantasizing about spiritual warfare and let's go seek demons out and we're going to be demon hunters and cast them out. Like there's nothing in the New Testament about that. That's not biblical. But and I also find it interesting that lots of times, you know, so think about the letters to the Corinthians, like that church was a mess and Paul writes them and he talks about dissensions, but he doesn't say like there's a spirit of dissension. Mm-hmm. He just says there's dissension. You guys are just sinful. Mm-hmm. And you know, when it's they're dealing with the son that's sleeping with his stepmom, there's not like, oh, there's a spirit of lust. It's just like, that's sin. Stop doing that. So, you know, Paul even doesn't attribute everything that's going wrong to, well, there's a demonic spirit, there's a demonic spirit. It's just, you guys are just sinful. Like, stop living like that. Pursue righteousness. Flee Satan and the demonic resist Satan and they'll flee. So the emphasis in the New Testament is not like, here's 10 ways that you can battle demons. It's not the whole point of our lives with Jesus. We're supposed to pursue righteousness and holiness and yes, like, so again, it's, you know, do we have authority as followers of Jesus to cast out demons? Totally. Mm-hmm. I totally think so. And when we were just in Africa, I witnessed that there, you know, and my dad has shared lots of stories of him being involved in that kind of stuff, but you know, we picture Hollywood, oh, they're crawling on the ceiling and their heads are spinning around and we have to, like, you know, all we're told that Jesus and the disciples did was just you know, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out. And, mm-hmm. and they did. There's no like, get your holy water. Like, let's, you know, there's nothing like that. And we, I think, have Hollywoodized it and kind of fantasized about what that would look like to cast out a demon. And really, it's just, it's not your authority. It's Jesus's authority. In the name of Jesus, we cast you out. So not saying that that doesn't happen, but the New Testament, the emphasis isn't on that, I guess. So then all that to say, like, so demons can cause sicknesses and diseases. You would agree with that, Don, but not all of them.
Not all of them.
I
think, you know, that's where this question, I think, was kind of going. Like, am I the crazy one? Are we looking for something that isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I don't know if we're ready to go into kind of, so what? What are we going to do about this?
Yeah, probably.
But to acknowledge that many of these disorders and sicknesses are, can be from the enemy messing around with people.
Yeah.
And can we always know that? But yeah, just to emphasize again, not everyone.
Yeah.
But some of them maybe.
Yeah.
And I think even a healthy way to do that, we may not exactly know, but sometimes it can seem like, hey, things are happening here that seem to match what Satan and his enemies would be about. And rather than panic, I think with the authority we have in Jesus to say, God, if there's demonic activity going on here, we want to come against that in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
We do want to pray for healing. We do want you to expose anything that's from the enemy so that Jesus is the only one here. Just to even in that way, we may not be sure, but we can pray with authority for healing, for Satan to be removed and his angels, because he doesn't belong here. And to acknowledge that some of these things might be from the enemy. And I've prayed many times that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's things are going wrong or things are just unraveling and you go, okay, this is not normal anymore. And
yeah.
You recognize Satan is trying to disrupt what we want to do,
yeah,
or what Jesus wants to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes it involves sickness. Sometimes it's just this overwhelming temptation, or sometimes relationships are unraveling quickly and you're going, okay, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And then to be, you know, discerning that maybe this is demonic activity and to pray against that.
Yeah. And I think it takes a, as you mature in your faith, a certain level of discernment to have that balance, like, because there's lots of Christians who attribute, like I said, like, you know, the being health thing or this, you know, all that kind of stuff where it's like every single disease and sickness is either caused by your own sin or demons. Yeah. And it's kind of like, I just don't see anywhere in the Bible where it says that. Mm-hmm. Like the reality of the Bible biblically is that our world, the universe was perfect and good, and sin fractured all of that. And part of that, one of the effects of the fall, was sickness and death and illness and disease. So yes, demons, totally. I agree with you, Don, that some sicknesses and some diseases can be caused by the demonic, but also some of it is just the effects of humanity's choice to rebel against God. And that's, so, you know, lots of people, I've heard people say, oh, well, all cancer is caused by unforgiveness. So if you would just forgive, well, then you won't have cancer. But that's just not biblical. Like there's nothing, it sounds great because then, hey, if I just forgive people, then I won't have cancer. But lots of Christians that I know who are godly had cancer and they died from cancer. And to say that, well, it was their own fault because of their unforgiveness, I just go, where in the Bible do you find that? I don't find that anywhere. So again, it takes discernment to know, you know, is this a sickness that is just, hey, I've got pneumonia because that's just part of the effects of a sinful world, and I'm going to go to the doctor and I'm going to get medicine and I'm going to get better. Or you go, hey, like you said, like, okay, there's something going on here and let's pray about it. And I think like we've done that. I've shared before about my mom's sickness, then we prayed about it. Okay, God, if this is from the enemy, like we want to, like you just said, pray against that in Jesus' name. You know, Satan, you have no claim, blah, 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 whatever. And my mom's not healed. So you go, we could say, well, we got to pray harder and we got to fight this demon harder. But I think that's just foolishness that we prayed about it. God seems to have answered us by saying, no, it's not from the demonic because your mom's still sick and we don't know why. And you just trust and you keep praying for healing. And it's just that, it's that balance of biblically walking through steps and then resting in God's sovereignty and going, okay, it didn't happen, but God's in control. And yeah, not to think, oh, maybe we didn't pray right, or maybe it's like a super demon. And blah, blah, blah. I think that that just gets into non-biblical stuff. So yeah. To have that kind of discernment, I think, is really key.
Yeah. So I think the part of the question was, do you think we as Christians in general tend to swing towards the side of underestimating? And maybe here in the MB church, I probably say we do that.
Yep.
Because it's scary, and maybe we're not, you know, kind of learning biblically what that's all about.
Yeah.
And so we tend to shy away from that for sure.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably something we struggle with here. Because even, you know, telling Andrew, like, you know, I think a demon entered my room last night and was tempting me. And you might go, Don, did you have some weird chili or something? Like, even, you know, just when someone talks that, we already go, wacko.
Yep.
And we don't even hear them out or don't even consider that, hey, let's discern this.
Yes.
So I think that question is, you know, yeah, I think we do underestimate. And like you said, Satan doesn't mind either way, as long as you're not really aware of that he's here doing, wreaking havoc.
Yeah.
So
I remember one comedian, Jim Gaffigan, was talking about Moses, and Moses comes back and tells his friends, guys, like, I just talked to a burning bush. And they go, I think you were burning some bush there, Moses. But it's just like, it's true. Like, if someone came to me and said, yeah, I battled a demon last night in my room, because we've grown up in a naturalistic environment. Yeah. You know, it's sad, but my first thought would be like, are you sure? Were you just like hallucinating or on some strong medicine or like, and we don't want that to be the conclusion we automatically jump to.
Yeah.
So it is that.
But even as a, you know, with the sickness, for example, we're talking about some of these disorders to kind of pray about it too, that this could be demonic activity and not to, you know, shy away from that. At the same time, while we're getting treatment or looking at all options, we're still aware that we have an enemy who does want to destroy us, whether it's physically or spiritually, that we wouldn't shy away from that either.
Yeah.
But not in fear or looking for things that aren't there. So I think this person is not crazy. I think you're onto something good here that we should be aware of.
Totally. Yeah. All right. Hopefully that answered your question. I'm just encouraged that this person is maturing in their faith and they're asking good questions. And I think, as we deal with just issues and questions that come up, it is that let's go to the scriptures, let's dive in and use that discernment to kind of land in the middle, right? That's the title of this should be the title of our podcast.
Land in the middle.
Or the middle. The middle.
Middle
we'll
Earth.
Think about that. We'll workshop Middle Earth.
One verse to encourage us before you sign off.
Okay.
Paul says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil.
Woo!
So Paul says we have everything we need in Christ to be strong and stand firm against the enemy. So
Amen.
Let's live in that victory and proclaim it.
Awesome. That's a great way to end. All right, signing off, and we will talk to you next week.